Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 35 through 39 responsively of Romans chapter 8. I stand for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, I'll read, then you read, and so forth. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, 39 together, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for this time. We come to your preaching right now, your book. I pray, God, that you fill thy spirit with your power. Give me clarity of thought. Anoint my lips this morning. I pray every heart will be open to the preaching of your book this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last week, of course, it was Mother's Day, and I hope, again, all you mothers had a wonderful, wonderful day. And I preached on a mother's love last Sunday morning. And this morning, I'd like to go ahead and I'd like to preach on God's love, the love of God. Our text verse is chapter 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Shall tribulation, shall outward pressures, shall that separate us from the love of Christ? Distress, inward pressures, will that separate us from the love of Christ? Or persecution, people hurting you and saying things about you and about the stand that you take, and will that separate us from the love of Christ? Well, famine, nakedness, when you have nothing, when you may look in your cupboards and you wonder, how am I going to go ahead and make it through the week? And maybe when you look at your bills and different things, how am I going to go ahead and pay the bills? But when you feel like you have nothing, will that separate us from the love of Christ? Peril, when you are in jeopardy, when you are in trouble, will that separate us from the love of Christ? Sword, that's fighting or arguing, will that separate us from the love of Christ? Before I go any further, let me say nothing, I say nothing, I say nothing can separate you from God's love. We are secure. You know, God's love is endless to this morning. God's love is boundless. I mean, it never ends. It never ends from the furthest east to the farthest west. You know what? God's love just extends on and on and on. It doesn't matter where you are and who you are this morning. Hey, you know what? Nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, Paul says, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. Boy, I thank God for that. Paul keeps writing in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. For thy sake, for the sake of our Lord, we may be attacked. We may be ridiculed. We may be made fun of. We may suffer pressures of life. Like maybe some of you this morning, you're suffering some tough times. Maybe you're going through some difficult times. Maybe there are some heartaches. Maybe there are some problems in your life. But the truth of the matter is, for the sake of our Lord, we may be attacked. We may go through some tough times. There may be times when you have nothing. People may hurt us. We've been counted, the Bible says, as sheep going to the slaughter. But let me say this. The sacrifice, our sacrifice for Christ is nothing compared to the sacrifice Jesus gave on the cross. Nothing. Yes, we may be attacked. We may be made fun of. But let me tell you something. That is so minute. That is so minuscule compared to what Jesus went to on the cross. Paul goes on to say in verse 37, even though we have our trials and pressures of life, he has made us conquerors. Let me say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God has given us through his love the ability to conquer those that may make fun of us. We don't have to be defeated. this morning, Christian, you don't have to sit here and be defeated. You know, we don't have to sit there like a bump on a log and wonder how we're going to get through and maybe sit there and cry and weep. And yes, I know there's hurts. I know there's struggles. I know there's heartaches. I know there's difficulties. But let me tell you something. Boy, you know what gives me joy when I go through the valley? You know what gives me joy when I'm even on the mountaintop? You know what gives me joy each and every day? The very fact that nothing, I say nothing, can separate me from the love of God. Hey, my enemy can't separate me from the love of God. The devil himself cannot separate me from the love of God. The name calling of the world cannot separate me from the love of God. Hey, what I'm trying to say, hey, God loves you. Paul goes on to say that we are more than conquerors. We don't have to be defeated this morning. We don't have to quit on Christ this morning. Hey, let me tell you something. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Christ never gave up on you. Christ never quit on you, teenager. Christ never quit on you, child. Hey, parent, Christ never quit on you. He loves you this morning. Hey, I plead with you. You just keep on going on for Jesus. You keep on hanging on. Why? Because nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. God has given us the ability to win through Christ. You know, if you're saved this morning, you are winning. You are winning. I go back to a verse in Proverbs chapter 7 this morning, in verse 2, I think it is, a father kind of commanding his son and teaching his son to keep the commandments and live. You know, we are more alive today than most Christians today. We are more alive today than the world is today. Hey, you know what? If you have Jesus living inside you today, boy, you know what? You are alive. You have every reason in the world to be excited and to be happy. You know why? Because there's nothing, I say nothing, can separate you from the love of Christ. Hey, it doesn't matter where you are this morning. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. I like that. I like this promise right here in Scripture that who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Nobody. Nobody can separate me from the love of Christ. Hey, even when I may get people making fun of me, nobody can separate me from the love of Christ. I thank God for that. We ought to praise him for it. In spite of who we are, he loves us. Oh, let me say that. In spite of who we are, he loves us. I thank God. He was willing to look down at a sinful Sean Weeks and a robe of flesh. And yes, I make mistakes, but I thank God that in spite of who I am, he loves me. And let me say this, my friend, this morning. You're sitting there this morning, and you're wondering if you can make it through the next month. You're wondering if you can make it. Hey, it doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter who you've been hanging around with. Doesn't matter who you are. Maybe you feel like God can't use you because of something. Hey, my friend, God loves you in spite of who you are. No matter where you are, physically or spiritually, hey, you know he loves you. Does not matter where you have been, hey, he loves you. Does not matter where you have been saved out of, hey, he loves you. He loves you unconditionally. God's love is not a love. If you love me, I'll love you. Amen. You know, he doesn't go ahead and say, well, if you love me, then I'm going to go ahead and love you. No, 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 my friend. God's love is a love that I will love you whether or not you love me or not. Boy, I thank God. And I know there's a whole world out there that doesn't necessarily love Christ. They don't even acknowledge Christ today. They haven't acknowledged Christ at all the last week. But let me tell you something, my friend. It doesn't matter whether it's the drunkard on the bar stool. It doesn't matter whether it's the pornographer. It doesn't matter if it's the sinner. It doesn't matter if it's a wayward teenager that has left God. It doesn't matter at all. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what position you are in this morning. Hey, God loves you. 1 John 4:19, and the Bible reads, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. It says he first loved us, knowing the fact that he knew that we would return his love when we got saved. Hey, you know what? Until I got saved, I didn't recognize his love. I didn't know. Until someone showed me from the Bible how I could know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, that's when I recognized, boy, God, you really do love me, and I thank you for it. Hey, when was the last time you told him? And that, by the way, that's not weird. You know, God wants to hear it from you. But when was the last time that you went ahead and you told him that you loved him? When was the last time that you thanked him for his love? When was the last time that you thanked him for the things that he's provided for you? When was the last time that you told God he loves you? Hey, he loves you unconditionally this morning. My friend, God loves you unconditionally. He loves you irregardless of who you are and what you may think of him. Hey, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. That is why it is so easy to serve him. That is why it is so easy. You know what? Because nothing. It doesn't matter. You know what? I'm a preacher still robed in flesh, and I may make mistakes, but irregardless of my mistakes, you know what? It just makes it so he still loves me, and it just makes it so much easier for me to say, hey, Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned, and he just wants, hey, you just keep serving me. Hey, you just keep on serving. You just keep on preaching. You keep on winning souls. You keep on riding that bus. Hey, Christian, my friend, that's why it's so easy for you to serve him. Because nothing, I say nothing, it doesn't matter what mistakes you've made, nothing can separate you from the love of God. No outward pressure of this world can separate you from his love. No inward pressure, the heartaches, no illness can separate you from his love. Amen. That's why it's so easy to serve him. Hey, bus captain. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Hey, a bus worker. Hey, junior church worker. Hey, hey, Sunday school teacher. As I mentioned, the truth of the matter is, you know what? You just keep on serving. Yes, you may make mistakes. Yes, you may have some troubles. Yeah, yes, you might have gone ahead and committed some sin as a Christian, as we all do. But the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Hey, if you made a mistake today, Christian, hey, you know what? Just get right with God. And you just keep on serving him. That's why it's so easy. He loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter who you hang around. Doesn't matter where you're going. Hey, God loves you unconditionally. He loves me when I make my mistakes. He loves me when I am lonely. He loves me when I hurt. He loves me when I am discouraged. He loves me when I feel like there is no other way. You feel like that today? Oh, so there are times that we all feel that way. We wonder, is there any other way? You kind of feel hopeless at times, but he loves you when you feel like it's hopeless. He loves you when you are down. He loves you when you are sick. He loves you when you are distressed. He loves you when you are disappointed. He loves you when you get bad news from a doctor. He loves you if you're lost this morning and you're on your way to hell. By the way, that's why he died. You say, well, preacher, yeah, that's why he died. It doesn't matter, you may be lost and you're not for sure you have a home in heaven. Let me tell you something, my friend, boy, God loves you. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. He loves me because I am his child. He loves me because he loves me. He will love me today as well as tomorrow. He will continue to love me next year. He will love me when I am old. He loves me when I am young, and I am young. Amen? Amen. But he loves me when I'm old. He loves me when I am or was young, if you will. He loves me when I'm on the mountaintop. He loves me when I'm in the valley. He loves me when I'm even in the middle. He loves me irregardless of my position. Hey, preacher, you say, what am I trying to say this morning? Hey, God loves you. Nothing. Say nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Do you really know, my friend, how much? Do you really understand how much our God loves you? Hey, Paul was convinced. Let me read a few more verses here, number 38 of chapter 8. For I am persuaded, Paul was convinced, he was persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, Paul was convinced that death could not separate him from the love of God. Life could not separate him from the love of God. No angel or other being could separate us from the love of God. No principality, no magistrates, no other king, no president, no earthly political power, no Democrat, no Republican, no libertarian, no independent can ever separate me from the love of God. No law can go ahead and separate me from the love of God. No present difficulty or heartache can separate me from the love of God. No hurts or heartaches can separate me from the love of God. Hey, no high things or low things, the Bible says, can separate us from the love of God. There's no creature too big or too small that can separate us from the love of God. Hey, you know what? Church, I hate snakes. But you know what? There's not a creature that can separate me from the love of God. You know, there's no big creature that can keep you from God's love. There's no little creature that can keep you from God's love. Hey, what I'm trying to say, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Thank God this morning we are surrounded by his love. Thank God that his love is too strong to be torn away from us. It doesn't matter if you want to push him away. It doesn't matter. Oh, I know people that, you know, I don't want that. I don't want anything to do with it. I just don't want anything to do with it. It doesn't matter if the world goes ahead and pushes him away. He still so loved the world. I thank God for that. My health he gives me day to day. He tells me, Sean, I love you. The beauty of his creation tells me, Sean, I love you. The family that he's given me tells me, Sean, I love you. The church that I get to serve in tells me, Sean, I love you. Hey, what am I saying over and over this morning? But let's get it in our head this morning. Hey, God loves you. There's not a problem too big or too small that God cannot handle. Hey, just give it to him. He loves you. He knows your needs. Hey, there are many evidences this morning that I could talk about that prove his love, that remind of his love, but I want to just share with you a few areas this morning that he has bestowed to us his love. Number one, God reminds us of his love by giving us eternal life through his son. God reminds us of his love by giving us, number one, eternal life through his son. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But that word commendeth means demonstrated or showed. God showed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, and I'll quote, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, God so loved this morning. He so loved you this morning. He so loved the dying world this morning. He so loved the world that he's willing. Hey, if this is not love, I don't know what it is. I don't know that a God that would look down and say, hey, the world is dying and is going to hell, and I want them to come up here with me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, the Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you. And God looks down and says, hey, there's a world that grieves me, but you know what? I'm going to make a way for that world to come to me, for the lost and dying world to come to me. I'm going to love that world so much that I'm willing to send my only son Jesus to die on the cross. And boy, you know, I think of that. I got 4 children. I got 3 girls and 1 boy, as most of you know. I couldn't imagine somebody coming to me and say, hey, I need to sacrifice your son for the world. I can imagine, but because of the love of God that he had for you, he was willing to go ahead and send his only son Jesus, knowing he'd see his son one day. He had a perfect plan of how he'd send his only son Jesus. Let us briefly discuss the demonstration of his love. I know it's familiar, but boy, we ought to remember this. We ought not forget what God has done for us. Jesus' miraculous birth at Bethlehem proves the love of God for us. He was forgotten about, if you will, Luke chapter 2, you can read it later. He was forgotten about in Jerusalem at age 12. And I remember when the family, Mary, Joseph, and the family, where they'd go ahead and they'd observe the feast of the Passover, the Bible says, Luke chapter 2, end of that passage. Go ahead and read it later. And they went ahead, and it was time to go home, and they thought that Jesus had gone with a company and so forth, somebody else. They were going home. They realized, hey, Jesus isn't with us. Of course, they go back to Jerusalem, and where was Jesus? He was sitting in the midst of the temple, both hearing and answering questions of the doctors and of the educated in the temple there. And I believe at this time, he was a 12-year-old boy. He understood. He says, I must be about my Father's business there in that chapter. And I believe at that time, he understood his purpose and his plan. Hey, what I'm trying to say, God loves you, and he's proved it by that miraculous birth at Bethlehem, by giving his little boy the purpose at age 12. Jesus had a 33 and a half year period that he would walk on this earth. He would heal. He would cause the blind to see. He would do miracles. He would seek and save that which was lost. He would train men, his disciples, to carry on the gospel, because at the end he would die a cruel death on a cruel cross for my sin and for yours. Hey, that's love, my friend. Just how much did God love us? It was demonstrated by him allowing his only son to go ahead and be tried unjustly while a real wicked sinner, that's Barabbas, he was a murderer, was set free. The crowd would go ahead and yell outside, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus would take that crown of thorns, picture with me. This is God's love displayed right here. He'd take that crown of thorns and they jab it into his brow, and they just go ahead and just jab it right down there. He would be spat upon. He would have his beard plucked out. He'd have that crown of thorns on his head. He'd have a cat of nine tails lashed across his back. The book of Isaiah would prophesy that you couldn't even tell that Jesus was a man after they got done with him. But why did he do it? Because he loves you. He was forced to carry that heavy cross up Calvary. The nails were driven in his hands and feet. Can you hear that noise of that hammer and the nails going together and pounding his nails in his feet? Why, my friend, did he do it? He did it for you. He did it for you. While on that cross, he was hanging there and he was crying out to his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Father would have to turn his back on his own son. Why? Because he loves you. I thank God this morning that I have a God that loves me. Irregardless of my circumstances, doesn't matter what path I've trod down, doesn't matter what I've done, I have a God that loves me, and there's nothing that can separate his love for you. Nothing can separate that. He has demonstrated it for us. Hey, my friend, have you been saved this morning? Do you know for sure that you have Jesus in your heart? If you were to die today, my friend, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? He's provided it for you through his son, Jesus. Hey, but you know the story doesn't end there with Jesus on the cross. After Jesus died, they took Jesus down and they put him in a tomb. You know, many of the critics thinking, we got him. The old devil thinking, hey, you know what? We got him. The old devil, he's laughing and scorning, saying, yeah, Jesus is dead. He's been trying for a long time. But lo and behold, 3 days later, the Bible says, up from a grave he arose. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever. Amen. And praise God, we don't serve a dead Christ this morning. He is alive. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. And guess what? He's sitting there at the right hand of the Father. And God is up there. He's preparing a place for those who've been saved. If it were not so, he says, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, the Bible says. And the Bible says also in John 14, verse number 1, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, he's creating a mansion for those who are saved. And you know, one of these days, the Bible says, you know, as Jesus, he's sitting there. He's alive this morning. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And God the Father is going to say, hey, son, it's time. Time for what, Dad? It's time to go get your children. Hey, son, you remember, you know why he died on the cross? Hey, you see them nail-scarred hands and feet? Hey, son, you know what? Hey, the mansions are here. Hey, the heaven is all prepared. Hey, my son, it's time to go get him. And one of these days, the clouds are going to go ahead and part, and Jesus is going to come for his own. Hey, my friend, are you ready this morning? Are you ready this morning? Are you ready? Hey, that proves his love. He loves you this morning. Don't leave here without knowing him. Oh, my friend, don't leave here without knowing him. If you're lost this morning, if you had that void in your heart this morning, and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven this morning, I plead with you as your preacher, go ahead and come to know him as your personal savior. Number one, he has demonstrated who he's proven his love. There's the evidence of his love by giving us eternal life. Number two, God has showed us his love, not in just giving us eternal life, but he's given us an eternal book which instructs us how to live. Boy, I thank God for the Bible. Boy, some of my lowest days, many of my lowest days, I thank God that even when I am ridiculed, even when I have heartaches, even when I have difficulty, you know, I have a book that instructs me and that encourages me. I thank God that we have an eternal book. I hold my hands this morning, the only perfect thing that's known to man, that's a preserved word of God, the Bible. I hold my hands this morning, the instruction book on how we ought to live right here in the word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word, forever. That means forever, man. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is forever settled. It will never be destroyed. Hey, the Bible will help you in every area of your life. Maybe you need some strength. Maybe you're tired and you're weary this morning. The Bible says also in Psalm 119:28, my soul melteth for the heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. This book can also offer comfort when you're discouraged. The Bible says in Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction. Are you afflicted this morning? Are you going through something this morning that you say, preacher, I just can't get through it? I'm having a difficult time, preacher. I just don't know if I can keep going. I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I just keep on trotting down this road. Hey, my friend, the Bible, God promises, this is my comfort. In Psalms 119:50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Hey, this book right here, boy, you ought to make it real to you. You ought to make it a part of your life. I'm talking about every day. You ought to make it a part of your life. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how. You know what? I challenge you, just take 10 minutes. You know, you start taking just 10 minutes. Just 10 minutes, and you start reading a psalm or a proverb or something like that, and maybe reading the gospel. You take 10 minutes a day, and you give that time to God, I promise you. I mean, and you be sincere. God, I'm going to go ahead and schedule 10 minutes. Maybe it should be probably the first thing in the morning, but hey, you know what? Somewhere in your day, you ought to make that a part of your life, that book a part. You take 10 minutes of talking to God, and you read his word, and you know what? You be sincere to it, and let me tell you something. It won't be long before that 10 minutes goes 15. It won't be, I promise you. If you're sincere about it, say, God, I want you to help me. I want you to bless me. I want you to give me strength. I want you to help me, God. I want you to help me, help me, help me. Hey, that book right there will help you. And you take 10 minutes. And let me tell you something, it'll be 15. It'll be 20. It'll be 25. It'll be 30 before long. Hey, you know what? If we're a child of God, we ought to. If you're saved this morning, boy, you ought to make that book a part of your life. Boy, every single day, you know what? I get encouragement from that book every single day. It's God's love letter to us. We must read it daily. We must memorize it. We must make it a part of our life. Make it a part of your family's life. Boy, you know, there's nothing more precious to me than just hearing my kids just read the Word of God and just teaching them the Word of God. We ought to make it a part of our family. You know, through the years, I've counseled many folks, teenagers, adults. And somewhere along the way, you know, they've been saved. They'll tell you times that the time when they got saved. And somewhere along the way, they trod down that road and something broke them. Something hurt them. Something happened. And you know what? There was a time, you know, I'd see them growing up. Maybe if it was a teenager, I'd see them growing up through the years, or even adults and families that were strong. But, you know, and they were going down. They were serving God. They were doing different things. But something happened. Something caused them to break. They start backsliding. Before long, their church attendance becomes less and less. Before long, you know, if it's a family, I've seen their kids start going wayward simply because mom and dad just started making the Word of God part of their life and making church a part of their life. They just started slow but sure. And, you know, every time I'd go ahead and counsel somebody and they would tell me, and if they'd fallen into deep sin, by the way, it starts somewhere. It starts somewhere. You know, I've seen people who were once faithful to church and just reading this Bible. I'm just saying they were just once, every Sunday they'd be in church. Every service they'd even be in church. They'd just make the Word of God their life. Let me tell you something. They could always pinpoint the time when they started backsliding. They would tell me all the time. Say, you know what? Well, you know when I started backsliding? It was when I put that book down right there. When I stopped making that book a part of my life. Let me tell you something. This book is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it'll go ahead and convict you, yes. And you know what? I mean, I'll go ahead and read this at times. Say, oh, God, you know, I didn't really like that passage. You know, could we, you know, there are times, yes. But you know what? Let me tell you something. That book will go ahead and convict me, and it'll keep me straight, if you will, and it'll also go ahead and encourage me when I'm down. Hey, we need to make it a part. Hey, don't be a casualty in the cause of Christ. Oh, my friend, don't be a casualty today. Oh, teenager, don't be a casualty for the cause of Christ. Let me say this. If you've been serving God, you keep on serving Him. Don't you give up on God. Hey, He's never given up on you. Boy, He's never given up on you. He loves you. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. You know, and I use this a lot because it was a big deal to our family. But you know, the cancer battle that we went through, you know, I thank God for the Word of God. Some of you know what you went through. You've got things that in your life. Tell you something, this book, I thank God as a preacher. When I was an assistant pastor, I thank God every day that I could run to this book. When I saw the worst of times in my wife, I thank God very much so. He never separated from me. Let me tell you something, church family, maybe you're down today. You just say this, nothing. Boy, you ought to say, thank God. Doesn't matter if you've been wayward. Doesn't matter if you're backslidden this morning. God loves you. Nothing can separate that. That's a promise of the Word of God. Number one, He's showed His love by giving us an eternal salvation. Number two, He showed His love by giving us an eternal book. And number three, He has showed His love by giving us an eternal comfort. Oh, I spoke a little bit briefly on this, but God knows your need this morning. He knows your heartache. He wants to comfort you. And by the way, He's the best one to comfort you. Oh, I'll have people call me and say, preacher, please pray for me and tell me their woes. And the very best that I can, I'll pray with you and I'll comfort you because I love you. But let me just say this. Yes, you can come to the preacher anytime and I'm going to be there for you. But don't forget to go to God. Yeah, you can come to me, but hey, sometimes I think we automatically, hey, if I get to the preacher, yeah, that's fine. I'm glad of that. I want to help you because I love you, but let me tell you something. Don't forget God. Get to God. You know, He's given you an eternal comfort. I'm reminded of the passage in John 14 when Jesus was instructing his disciples, whom he loved very dearly. He worked with these men. He's reminding them of the things that were soon to come and how he'd be taken away and he's going to be crucified. He's not going to be with them much longer. And, you know, but I got thinking, these disciples who also loved Jesus, they had served at the hand of Jesus for so long, and I can imagine maybe they were feeling a little bit hurt. I could maybe, they maybe were a little bit fearful. They were maybe a little bit concerned, you know, for they've seen the miracles that Jesus performed, and they've seen the all that he did and the preaching and all that he did. And now Jesus was just saying, you know what, just a little while, my friends, I'm going to be gone. And he's instructing them, hey, you must carry on the gospel. Hey, you must keep on going on for me. And I can imagine that the disciples, they were hurting, and they were maybe a little bit upset. I think I would have been, for they loved him so much. Jesus says to them, and you can just write this down later, John 14:18, he says to them, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Hey, he promised that the Holy Spirit would be left with you and he'll guide and comfort you. Boy, I thank God that, you know what, even when I'm down here, and I've been down here many times in my life, and there's some of you down here, maybe tonight, this morning, you're in the valley. And let me say this, he'll not leave you comfortless. Do you feel alone this morning? Guess what? He'll not leave you comfortless. Do you feel a heartache this morning? Guess what? He will not leave you comfortless. Hey, do you feel some pain, or do you feel some heartache, whatever it may be? Hey, guess what? He'll not leave you comfortless. He will come to you. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God that he indwells me. I thank God that when I do wrong, he convicts me. I thank God that when I'm hurting, he comforts me. I thank God simply for the love of God. No matter what, he loves you, my friend. I say nothing can separate you from the love of God. Oh, there's so many more ways that God has demonstrated his love to us. I've named a few. And I went over many, many different things on how nothing can separate the love of God. But let me ask you a question. How is it that you've demonstrated your love to him? You know, so many ways. Just think. All you have to do is sit back and think. You know, I walked outside this morning. I kind of have a ritual. I'm not sure if that's the right word or not, but I just kind of go, especially these nice days, I'm early. I just like to go outside and I'll look over the pond a little bit. And this day, just beautiful day. And I just out walking around a little bit, just walking out behind the building and just walking around, just kind of looking at the flowers and different things. And I come to my office and just the different things that I did. But I just couldn't help but feel surrounded by God's love this morning. Each and every day I feel it. And you know, as I was walking, I said, Lord, you know, the very best I can as a man of God and as a preacher, man, I want to demonstrate my love to you. And I just said, Lord, God, I love you. God, I love you. And I, you know what, and even some of the things I didn't even think of, you know, I did mention the Bible. God, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for your word. But then I just said, boy, God, I thank you for that bird that's chirping in that tree over there. I thank you for the beautiful flowers. You know, he demonstrated, boy, if you just thought just for a little while and thought of all the things and how he has demonstrated his love for you, boy, you know what? You could have a whole prayer list of thankfulness. You could have a whole list of thankfulness that would last all day long. But the truth of the matter is, how have we demonstrated our love to him? Have you told him? Have you told others about him? Oh, we sit here, we're saved this morning. We know for sure we're on our way to heaven, but have you told others about him? That is showing your love to him. Have you been obedient to him by reading his word and attending church? That tells him that you love him. By doing the things that he wants you to do, that tells you that you love him. By living upright and honest, that tells you that tells him that you love him. Hey, does God really know how much you love him? When was the last time you told him? When was the last time that you attempted maybe take a few tracks from the back table? That's not a track there. I got one in my pocket. I always do. There we go. And when was the last time that you went to a lost friend or a lost relative or maybe someone on the job and you attempted to go ahead and tell somebody about Christ? Hey, you know what? That's proven. That's showing God. Hey, God, I love you. Hey, when was the last time you told him? When was the last time that you've been completely obedient to his will? And when was the last time you read his word? Hey, the songwriter writes that God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, nor rest till he had planned to bring me nigh. How wonderful, boy, the songwriter says, how wonderful is love like this. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is a love like this? Boy, that's the best love in the world. It's unconditional. He'll never turn his back on you. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Boy, you know what? He's the best friend you got. Boy, you know, I've had friends that have said, you know, I'll be your best friend. I'll stick with you till the end. Boy, when the troubles came, you know what? They fled. But you know who never fled? Jesus. I knew he was still there. Oh, how he loves you. Who shall separate us from the love of God? You know, a young scientist ran to the bedside of his mentor at his deathbed. And he asked urgently, what is the greatest discovery that you ever made? This young scientist, he says to his mentor scientist who has taught him, hey, what was the greatest discovery that you had ever made? The old scientist laying there on his bed with a weak smile and with a weak voice but sure voice says simply like this, dear, it says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Hey, what was the greatest discovery ever made? Jesus loves me. Hey, you know what, my friend, this morning? Do you know what the greatest discovery that your preacher's ever made? Has ever found? Jesus loves me. And it's unconditional. He'll never leave me. He's there through your battle. He's there through your heartache. He's there through your struggle. He's there if you're on the mountaintop this morning. He's there if you're in the lowest valley. Hey, my friend, nothing shall separate us. Who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And then Paul answers it in verse 39, nor height, for I am 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, you saved this morning. When was the last time you told God, I love you? When was the last time that you've had that, just you and him? God, I love you. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know for sure you are saved. You've never experienced the love of Christ. You don't know really what the love of God really is. And he proved it by sending his son Jesus on that cross. And I plead with you this morning, do not leave without knowing the love of God through his son. Don't leave here. Don't leave here lost. I plead with you, my friend, this morning. Don't leave here. Don't keep pushing God away. I'll get saved tomorrow. I'll get saved next week. I'll get saved next time. Hey, you know what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. The Bible says life is but a vapor. We just don't know. But my friend, and maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I plead with you. Hey, let him demonstrate his love to you by saving you this morning. You know, I take it personally. When Jesus hung on that cross, he saw me. He saw me. He saw you. The reason why he went to that cross, so that you could have eternal life and be with God forever one day. One of these days, you know what? And I thank God, and I'm looking forward to it. One of these days, God's going to go ahead and say, son, go get your children. Go. And boy, in the twinkling of an eye, one day we're going to be risen with him. And we're going to live forever. The streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the mansions, you know, I think all them things are going to be wonderful. But you know what the most wonderful sight that's going to be in heaven? Jesus. Jesus. Oh, I think the gates of pearl will be great. Man, I've never seen them before. I look forward to that. I think the Golden Streets, boy, that's going to be something awesome. I think the mansions, the River of Life, oh, that's going to be wonderful. But you know what the most wonderful thing about it? Jesus. He's going to be there. The one that loves you unconditionally. The one that's your best friend. Our Heavenly Father, I do thank you for today, and I thank you for your beauty and your holiness. I thank you, God, for your goodness to us. Now, God, as we sit here this morning, we just talked a little while about your love and how it's inseparable. You could never separate from us. You love us so much. And you've demonstrated, God, so many ways. We just spoke about a few. I pray, dear God, that maybe if we're saved this morning, we know for sure we have a home in heaven, but maybe it's been a while since we said, God, I love you. God, I thank you for your goodness. Maybe there's someone here this morning, they don't know for sure they're saved. They've never really experienced, they know that God loves them, but they've never really experienced in their heart how much you love them, God. You sent your son Jesus, only son Jesus, to die on the cross. I pray, dear Lord, that you would just touch hearts. If there's a lost one here, they don't know for sure they're saved, I pray, dear God, that you would just work on their heart. And I pray that they'd step forward. In just a few minutes, they'll shake my hand and say, Preacher, I need to be saved. I want that love that you preached about, that the Bible speaks about. I pray, Lord, there's a lost one here today, that they won't linger and they won't wait. But we do not know what the future will hold for us. I pray, God, that you'd bless. And again, God, thank you for your love. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let us stand to our feet now. The music's going to play in just a moment. Christian, when was the last time you said, God, I love you? When was the last time that you just went ahead and you had some sweet fellowship with him? Maybe, Christian, it's been a while. Maybe you need to come forward. Just say, God, I love you. Maybe there's some other heartache that you just need to come forward and say, God, I need you to wrap your arms around me. Maybe you're unsaved this morning. You do not know for sure that you have a home in heaven. I plead with you, my friend. Don't leave here without knowing Jesus. He loves you this morning. If you're unsaved this morning, just a moment when the music plays, I'm going to stand down here, and I'd ask you to take that first step. Don't linger. Come shake my hand. And if you're a lady, you don't know for sure you're saved, I'll have a lady sit down and show you from the Bible how you can be saved and know for sure that you're going to heaven. If you're a man, I'll have a man sit down with you. Our heads are bowed. Whatever God needs to do, whatever the Holy Spirit's doing, don't linger, don't wait. The music's going to play now as it plays. Won't you make a decision? That's it. God loves you. When was the last time you told him?